Belinda presents this unabridged recording of
By Force of Arms, an Isaac Biddlecombe novel by James L. Nelson. Read by John Lee. Chapter 1. Judea. Captain Isaac Biddlecombe was carrying more sail than was prudent, more sail than was even safe, for the 35 knots of wind gusting from the south-southwest. It was a fact of which he was quite aware, but chose to ignore, hoping instead that the Judea's thin spars would bear the strain for an hour more, an hour and a half at the most. He pushed himself off the leeward rail and walked up the steeply sloping quarterdeck to the weather side, noting again, with some irritation, that such physical activity was not as effortless as it had once been. It wasn't his age, he was only 28, and while he no longer had the lean, tough physique that he had enjoyed as a foremast sailor, and even as a mate, he could hardly be considered fat. Still, the work of a ship's captain and its concomitant lack of physical activity was spoiling him, and he made a vague resolve to do something about it. Biddlecombe reached the weather side, grabbed on to the caprail atop the bulwark, and peered aloft. His long dark hair, bound in a queue, whipped around his head and stung his cheek like driving rain, and the tail end of his long wool coat beat against his legs. His cocked hat was jammed into the binnacle box for safekeeping. He buttoned the uppermost of the silver buttons on the coat and flipped the broad collar up to keep the wind off his neck and to tame his flogging hair as he studied the sails and spars above. In the light of the gibbous moon, he could make out the fore and main topgallant masts, 100 feet and more above the deck. They bowed dangerously to leeward, bending to the pressure of the yard and sail. He looked down at the water rushing along the ship's side and streaming aft in a long straight wake, before disappearing in the night. They were making 8 knots at least, more likely 8.5. Through the darkness he could just see the loom of the land ahead, the colony of Rhode Island. In an hour they would be safe in Bristol.
"Fall off a point, Rigney," Biddlecombe said, turning to the helmsman. "Fall off a point, eh?" replied Rigney at the wheel, easing 2 spokes to larboard.
Biddlecombe leaned over the weather rail and peered forward around the edge of the mainsail, staring into the darkness ahead. At last he saw it, a thin grey line, broad on the starboard bow.
"Rigney, there's Castle Hill. Do you see it?"
Biddlecombe pointed toward the rocky slope that marked the entrance to Narragansett Bay, just visible in the moonlight.
"Aye, sir,"
the helmsman said at last.
"And the breakers on the rocks? Aye.
Good. We'll stand in as close to those rocks as ever we can. Plenty of water there, so don't be shy." In the glow of the binnacle light, Biddlecombe could see Rigney's face, and he did not look happy.
"Aye, sir," was all he said.
The tip of Beaver Neck was now well astern, and the Judeo was charging down on Castle Hill. Biddlecombe drew a deep breath of the cold December air and grabbed hold of the mizzen topmast backstay. The rigging was hard as an iron bar, and Biddlecombe could feel it quiver under his hand. 8,000 square feet of canvas, driving 300 tons of ship and cargo. It was exhilarating, and it made him deeply happy. The ship raced through the short chop of Narragansett Bay, driven by the fresh southwesterly gale. The sails were full and hard,